Dear God, help us to hear your voice and to know more and more your relentless searching love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen. So usually when I'm up here preaching, I tell stories from my past that involve misadventures or bad decisions that I've made and are slightly embarrassing. This morning, I'm going to do something a little bit nicer to myself, and I'm going to tell an embarrassing story about somebody else, which is pretty fun. And it's even more fun because it's an embarrassing story about my dad. One of the fun things about being an adult is being able to chuckle at and with your parents a little bit. It takes a while to get to that stage in life, but when you do, it's a good and freeing feeling. So this story happened quite a while ago. I was 7 years old. I've got two brothers, one who's 2 years younger than me and one who's 6 years younger than me. So my little brother had just been born and made, I guess. My middle brothers, Stephen and I, 5 and 7, went with my dad, 5 of my dad's friends, all of whom had sons our age. We did a boys' trip down to Sunset Beach, South Carolina. This was the first ever dude's trip that I'd ever been on, and in a lot of ways, it did not disappoint at all. We got down there Friday night. We went and played on the beach. We watched the sunset, which is appropriate based on the name. We then all stayed up later than we should have and watched Roger Rabbit, which is probably not a great movie for my 5-year-old brother or me as a 7-year-old, but it was awesome. It was part of the dude's trip experience. The next day was the great day. We were on the beach all day, and then when evening came, we were going bowling and then going to a pizza place that also had lots of arcade machines. And for a 7-year-old boy in the late 1980s, there's literally nothing better than those three things. Bowling, pizza, arcades. That was everything I needed. So we go bowling, and then we all pile into the cars to head to the pizza place. And there's three people driving. Pizza place is about 20 minutes away. I can't really remember the drive, but I do remember showing up to the pizza place and looking around at the arcades and realizing that this was it. This was all that I wanted. Well, we sit down at the table, and my dad looks around slowly around the table and then asks a question that I will never forget. He says, "Where's Stephen?" And we all sort of looked around, and people said, "Wasn't he in your car? Wasn't he in your car?" And it very quickly dawned on us that my brother had not made it to the pizza place. I was 7, so I don't think I quite understood how terrifying this was for my dad or for the other parents who were sitting around the table. But my dad, at that point, yells a word that I've never heard him say before and gets up and just runs to his car. Now, spoiler alert, everything ends up fine. My brother ended up okay. It turns out that while he was at the bowling alley, he was playing an arcade game. He was playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which was a fantastic arcade game, and understandable that he sort of got lost in it a little bit. Well, apparently, he looks up after he died in the game and sees all of us sort of walking out the door. So he starts running after us, realizing that he needs to be someplace that he's not. Well, we never noticed and thought, I think everyone thought he was in one of the other cars. So he sees us get in the car, he sees us pull out the parking lot, and he just starts running after us. But he's five, he can't keep up with a car. So we turn onto Route 17 as he's full sprint coming after us and is getting ready to run out onto Route 17, which would have been a terrible thing. At that point, out of nowhere, a guy and his mother who were walking on the sidewalk jump out in front of him and stop him from what would have been horrific. And they're like, "Hey, what's happening?" And he explains that he's trying to chase after his family, his ride, everyone that he knows within 500 miles. And they take pity on him and usher him back into the bowling alley. Now, at this point, I'm actually a little bit jealous of my brother's adventure. He was given as much soda as he wanted and got to take a tour behind the bowling alley. He got to see where the bowling balls go before they get shipped back up front. He got to see how the pins were rearranged and restacked every time. And it turns out he had a memorable good time adventure. So while that's going on, while I'm eating pizza, not quite sure whether I'm worried or not for my little brother. It's kind of nice not having him around, you know. My dad is apparently driving 100 miles an hour down Route 17, just flying as fast as he can. I'm sure combination praying and cussing to himself and really hoping that this doesn't end badly. And it doesn't. He makes it there. He finds my brother. He wraps him up in a big bear hug. He brings him back to the pizza place. We play arcade games. We go back. It ends up being a good weekend. And I know a gigantic sigh of relief for everybody. All right, we're going to get back to that story in a minute. We're going to switch right now and look at today's gospel reading. But remember that story, because we're going to come back and tie it in. In today's gospel reading, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's giving them not really a parable, but more of a metaphor about what the kingdom of God is like, what the future coming of the Son of Man is going to be like. And he separates sheep from goats. He separates the good from the bad, talking about what they've done and what will happen. Now, there's a lot about this that is confusing, but there are a lot of things in this that we can understand. There's a challenge, a promise, and then another challenge wrapped in to that promise. The first challenge is this: don't be a goat. It's pretty simple, right? Now, when I read this, this is confession time. I imagine some of y'all had the same reaction. When I read this to start prepping for this sermon, immediately in my mind flashed images of people that I just knew for sure are goats. All of these goats tend to be people that disagree with me. People who see the world differently than I do. People who I just don't like. Those are the easy ones to point out in your mind as goats, right? Well, anytime you're identifying as bad, a group of people that see the world differently than you, you probably need to pause and do a little reflection. Because I don't think that's how it works. I don't think people that have different political leanings than I do, or different philosophies than I do, or different faiths than I do, are the goats. But this is where it's convicting. If that's true, then it probably means that all of us are at least sometimes goats. There's times when we behave like the sheep in this story, where we take care of those who need it. When we take care of the least of these. But let's be honest. So often we're goats. So often we are driven by our egos. And we interact with the world in a self-centered way. We interact with the world in ways that benefit us. That benefits ourselves. And we might be being nice at that time. We might be giving. We might be loving. But when we love people who are easy to love, it's easy. It benefits us. When we're kind to people who can benefit us personally or professionally, that's easy. That's what we do self-centeredly. When we take care of people who are easy and fun to take care of, that's easy. There's nothing noble or sacrificial about that. Now, that doesn't mean it's wrong. We're still supposed to interact with those people in love. But the hard part is loving those who are the least of these. Who is that? I think we all know who the least of these are. They're the people that are hard to love. They're the people in our lives, in our experiences, where it takes effort to love them, decision to step out from our self-centeredness and love them, even though there's nothing for us to gain, at least in the short term, in the act of bringing that love outwards. Those are the sheep, and so often, I know at least for myself, I don't do a good job of loving those people. I do a great job of loving the people who are easy to love. That's not hard. But so often, I'm a goat. I'm just too selfish to love those that it's difficult to love. But here's the good news. Here's where the promise comes in to this story. If you look at the Ezekiel passage that we read before the gospel reading, this is what God said through Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered. See, God promises to be our shepherd and to search for us and to seek us. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, through the incarnation of Christ, which we're getting ready to celebrate and expectantly wait for in the season of Advent, we are called God's sheep. We're called the sheep of God's pasture, and God promises to seek us out and find us when we're lost in our goatly ways. That's what my dad did. He might have been a goat when he wasn't paying enough attention to what was going on and accidentally left my brother at the bowling alley. That's a very goat move, right? The least of these has got to be a 4-year-old boy. But he also got to be the shepherd in that situation. As he raced down 17 at 100 miles an hour and ran up to my brother and picked him up in a giant bear hug and brought him back into the fold of our dude's weekend. God, though, is like that, except so much more. And that's the promise that we have. We're promised that we will be called sheep, and that our shepherd will seek us out wherever we are, whenever we get lost, no matter what we've done. But that promise comes with a challenge. And the challenge is that as the sheep of God's pasture, we're supposed to behave and act like the sheep in this story. We are supposed to receive that love that we receive from God and radiate and reflect that outwards into the world around us. And what is abundantly clear throughout the scriptures, and particularly in the teaching of Jesus, is that in some way the primary target of our love, of our care, of our charity, of our giving is supposed to be those that are referred to as the least of these, that are the people that are hard to love, because somehow in those people there is something about Christ. In the hurting there is something about God, and we are called as the sheep of God to particularly go out of our way to love those people and to be present in those situations, because that's what it means to love God. That's what we're called to do. Now, these actions, this behaving like sheep, isn't something that changes God's love for us. God's love for us is infinite and abounding, always searching, always seeking to rescue. But the blessing to us is that when we love like Christ, we put ourselves in a position to so much more deeply experience the love of God in our own lives. That's how we're designed. That's what we're created for. So when we take this challenge of loving those who are hard to love, somehow we experience more of God's love, which we can then radiate back out into the world, especially to those who are the least of these.